We're On the Record. I'm Senior Supervising Producer Maureen Harvey in for Sheila Cast. Good morning. Gods, goblins, and the Globe Theater. A war is looming in London between humanity and the fairy realm, and the Fae Queen Titania has taken control of the court of James I. It's up to teenager Joan Sands to restore peace with the help of her family and the bard himself. Action, royal intrigue, and romance can all be found in the new book, Saint Seducing Gold. Author Brittany Williams is an East Baltimore native. She attended Howard University and studied Shakespearean performance in London. She taught theater at Coppin State University, and her latest novel hits shelves April 23rd. Brittany Williams joins us from New Orleans. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This book is the second in your series, The Forge and Fracture Saga. Tell us about the main character, Joan.
Yeah, so Joan is a 16-year-old Black girl living in London in 1605. She's the daughter of a goldsmith, and she works choreographing fights and maintaining the stage blades for William Shakespeare's acting company. Her twin brother, James, is an apprentice with the acting company as well. And one thing that gives Joan, I guess, a leg up with this work that she does is that she's been blessed by the Orisha Ogun with the power to manipulate metal. So she finds her maintaining the swords very easy. She can just use her mind and use her magic to move metal wherever and however she'd like to.
Yeah, James and Joan's family worship the Orisha, a group of gods who have blessed them with different abilities. Tell us about this religion that you've kind of fictionalized or changed a bit for the books.
Yeah, so Orisha are spirits from West African tradition. You see the tradition being brought over to the United States through a couple different avenues. So there's one that kind of translated into what we know now as like voodoo or hoodoo, and then another that went through Cuba and translated into a branch known as Santeria. So my personal experience with the Orisha is through the practice of Santeria, and both are closed practices, meaning that there's a lot of knowledge that is held only by those who've been like initiated into the religions. So when I set out to explore the Orisha in this book series, I wanted to make sure that I didn't break any of those closed practices. So I've fictionalized it a little bit. And this branch that we look at in the book is a more direct line from West Africa to London.
Mm-hmm. What is Joan's relationship like with the god of metal who has blessed her?
Yeah, so Joan is, like in a typical teenage way, she is very appreciative of her powers and the magic that Ogun has given her. And she uses that magic as much as she wants to for as many frivolous things as she would like. But she is less diligent with like the rituals of her relationship. So the equivalent would be she's not very good at going to church, but she very much, you know, has a relationship with Ogun. In the first book, he starts to speak to her a lot more. And she builds on her direct connection with him. And we see a bit more of that, the strengthening of their relationship in book two.
This is On the Record. I'm producer Maureen Harvey in for Sheila Cast. I'm speaking with author Brittany Williams about her latest book for young adults, Saint Seducing Gold. She'll be in Baltimore to speak about the book at Charm City Books on April 26th. This book picks up right where the first book left off. A pact that stopped the magical fae from interfering in the mortal realm has been broken. Can you give us a preview of what adventure this book holds?
Yeah, so in the first book, Joan has to go up against a very powerful fae named Oberon. And, well, spoilers, she defeats him and she thinks everything is good. And then she finds out that he was not the one, he was not the main mastermind in charge of everything. And one thing I wanted to do with book two is I wanted to take every strength that Joan gained from book one and put her in a situation where none of that mattered. So Joan finds herself smack dab in the middle of the Royal Court of King James, where it doesn't matter how good of a sword fighter you are, because you cannot fight. You can't just pull your sword on any royal who gets on your nerves. And so she finds that she has, you know, friends in high places and also enemies in high places. And one of the completely mortal enemies she makes in book one, Robert Cecil, who is the king's spymaster and secretary of state, he still has it out for her completely in book two. And because she's at court, he has more direct access to her.
Yeah, Joan is basically coerced into joining the Queen's royal court. How does being inside the court present like a whole new challenge for Joan and a whole new opportunity for you to kind of up the ante?
For Joan, she is very much a swordswoman. Like, that is where her skill lies. Her skill lies in like direct confrontation, and more so in book two with like using her magic. Because she ends up at the royal court, you have King James I, who was like a notorious witch hunter. So that puts a damper on her freely using her magic, because if she gets caught, then it's very, very dangerous for her. It doesn't matter how confrontational you are. The way you handle fights at court is more through conversation, through diplomacy, through sometimes coercion, through like niceties and lies. And that is not where her strength is at all. If her twin brother James had been the one to go to court, he would have had an easy time. He would have sailed through everything, because he's this incredible actor. But Joan, that is not her strength. She's better off just fighting people hand to hand instead of trying to make it out of a confrontation between displeased ladies, where you have to use your words and your wits to get out of it. So it was fun to put her in situations where she really, really was challenged again, and to just have to strengthen her mind instead of strengthening her sword abilities.
Mm. Well, as you say, Joan's strength is with sword fighting. And despite the magic and the fairies, this novel doesn't shy away from monsters or battles, mm-hmm. or even bloodshed. How do you map out a fight scene, you know, in writing? I can imagine doing it for a movie, but how do you map that out for a book?
Yeah, I do it pretty much the same way that I would if I was like choreographing a fight for stage. I think of the ways that it would best serve the story. I think of how specific characters fight based on their emotional state, their ability, you know, their willingness to cause harm to their opponent. And I have a practice sword that I keep in my office. So sometimes I do the actual moves myself to make sure that they make sense.
Wow.
And I'll write out a scene. I'll write out the fight. And then I'll go back and make edits and tweaks to the sentence structure to make it so that I kind of guide my reader's breath as they're going along and reading through the fight. So short sentences feel like, you know, quick breaths, and long sentences feel like a long, like, combination of moves, just to make sure the rhythm makes sense for anybody reading. And so you kind of feel the same intensity that Joan feels in the middle of all these fights.
We need to take a short break in our conversation with Brittany Williams, author of the new historical fantasy novel, Saint Seducing Gold. When we're back, her sources of inspiration. I'm producer Maureen Harvey, sitting in for Sheila Cast. Welcome back to On the Record. I'm senior supervising producer Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. In her latest novel, Saint Seducing Gold, author Brittany Williams depicts the courage and complexity of teenager Joan Sands. Joan is doing her best to restore peace to 17th century London, a city under siege by magical creatures. Meanwhile, she's navigating crushes on both her actor friend Nick and a half-fairy named Rose. Brittany, you studied musical theater at Howard University and then went to London to study classical acting. You've performed in plays and you spent a year as a vocalist at Hong Kong Disneyland. Does your background as an actor make it easier to flesh out your character's motivations?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Being an actor and being a writer, it sometimes feels like reverse versions of the same like techniques. So as an actor, I'm taking words on a page and trying to flesh them out and make them into a living, breathing person. And when I'm writing, I have this image of a character or of a person in my mind, and I'm trying to translate that into words that another person can read and kind of get the same picture in their head. So all of these years I've had of like performing, I've studied acting since I was in middle school, when I would do the TWIGS program at the Baltimore School for the Arts. Mm-hmm. And then all the way through to doing the youth theater program at the Arena Playhouse. Like I've spent a lot of time looking at words and just turning these like black and white squiggles on a page into someone or someone on stage. So that makes it very easy to write like dialogue and to tap into like character emotions and everything. And I'm really glad to have that background when bringing it to this. And it especially helped in the moments where we see Shakespeare's acting company and in book one, where we see Joan on stage and performing like the actual plays.
Why did you decide to write for teen readers? What about this audience appealed to you?
So I originally tried to follow this idea through with an adult main character, and it just wasn't working. The words weren't coming, the story wasn't flowing. And once I made her 16 years old and tapped into my 16-year-old self and the experiences I had, and honestly, the book that I would have loved to have read when I was 16, that made everything so much like smoother. I love the potential that teenagers have. I love how huge everything seems, even when 2020 hindsight will tell you that, oh, that thing that felt devastating when I was a teen, you know, now that I'm an adult, I know that it wasn't. But just kind of acknowledging that, I love that teenagers have this ability and this ability to change themselves, to change the world. And I specifically want to reach out to any like teenage Black girl who isn't feeling seen in literature, specifically in fantasy literature. I wanted to write the book that I needed when I was a kid. So that really kind of drew me to it.
I want listeners to hear a little bit of what the book sounds like. Can you read a bit for us?
Yes, I can. The queen's delicate pale finger curled under Joan's chin and lifted her face. You will accept my offer, dear Joan, and become a member of my household. It will please me well. Joan felt a chill race up her spine as if icy cold water washed over her whole body. Something frigid bubbled up in her throat, foreign and nearly choking her with its force. She could barely breathe around the crush of it. It felt like drowning while every bone in her body was being ground to dust. She tried to cough, to reach for her suddenly tight throat. Titania squeezed her hand tightly, her grip strong enough to hold Joan easily, and pressed her thumb into Joan's chin. Say yes, Joan, she whispered so only they could hear, as her gaze turned sharp, and the pain will stop.
It's beautiful, and you've got an amazing reading voice.
Oh, thank you.
This scene reminded me of another character, Ella from Ella Enchanted, who... this is a book from the mid-90s, who mm-hmm. she's kind of forced, cursed with obedience.
Yes.
And Joan is kind of facing a similar situation, being forced to join Titania's royal court.
Mm-hmm. It's so funny that you mentioned Ella Enchanted, because that is a foundational book for me. So, of course, like that comes through in the writing. But yeah, she... You know, there's this, I wanted to play on the idea of thanking the Fae, meaning that you owe them a boon or a favor. And in book one, Joan thanks Titania twice. So there's this threat of like, well, how is she going to use this to her advantage and to Joan's disadvantage? So finding yourself in the royal court where you can't disobey, there's like the social repercussions of disobeying a royal order, and then the making that like a physical, very dangerous life and death situation of you must obey or you will crumple to dust in this moment, pretty much, is it just ups the danger factor for our girl Joan.
Mm. So this is the second book in the series. It's a trilogy. Do you already have the third book written? Do you already have it mapped out?
Yes, I actually turned in the revised version of the third book last week.
So oh, wow.
we are hard at work on it. It's a wild time to be holding the memory of book one, the book two about to be going out into readers' hands, and then be already in the mind space of book three at the same time. It's really wild.
Well, this was a great read. Brittany, thanks for the conversation.
Thank you. It was really wonderful.
Brittany Williams is the author of Saint Seducing Gold, the second novel in her young adult fantasy series, The Forge and Fracture Saga. Williams will join author Molly Horton Booth for a conversation and swordplay demonstration at Charm City Books on April 26th. We have a link to the RSVP at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Maureen Harvey, in for Sheila Cast. Glad you're with us on the record.